It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
In some circles, healing with herbs is a controversial subject. In my own family, I can look back to two distinct trains of thought on the use of raw botanicals as good medicine, although both trains ran along the same track. My dad was a pharmacist, and his drugstore was filled with pills of all kinds. Yet he also functioned as an old-time village healer with an open mind to the possibility of alternatives. Perhaps this train of thought came from his mother, a woman from the Kentucky hills who respected yarbs and knew something of the rhymes and lore of plants. And because my dad was trained in the old school of pharmacy in 1946 B.C., before computers, he worked with the basics and turned them into medicine. Practicing at a time when old-timers referred to him as the pill splitter, he had a well-worn collection of mortars and pestles, which ground the beginnings of compounds, salves, and syrups. When he died, I rummaged through his things to find two treasures the town needed in order to continue business as usual: the formulas for his burn ointment, and his special throat swab. I too have developed a respect for herbal healing, although I am of the opinion that lots of healing comes from the attention given to the ailment and the ailer. There is something to be said for putting everything else aside and spending time on yourself, whether it's by preparing, holding, and drinking a hot steaming cup of chamomile tea, or soaking your tired feet in a warm bath sprinkled with thyme leaves. A walk through my garden finds many herbals, including catnip and peppermint for tea, aloe for burns and cuts, feverfew for headaches, horehound to stay a bad cough, and garlic for just about anything that ails you. The most common and easiest way to apply herbs to your health routine is by brewing, simmering, or infusing them in hot water. They can then be taken as a simple cup of tea or turned into more complicated forms of decoctions, syrups, oils, and ointments, tinctures, compresses, poultices, or plasters. A word of warning should be given about learning before you leap into herbal medicine. Some plants are highly toxic or downright poisonous, so be sure to do your homework with a good herbal encyclopedia. To get you started on the road to herbal health, why not plant a bed of chamomile? The tiny white flowers with yellow centers will brighten your outlook in both your landscape and your teacup. There are two types of chamomile, German or Roman, and they can both be used for tea, though the German variety is more common. It will reseed itself each year, which could be a good or a bad thing, depending on where you originally place it. Like most herbs, chamomile needs full sun, and in our drying summer winds, it will need to be watered regularly. The tea is made from the dried flower heads, which are quite small, but once flowering begins, you'll be able to harvest about every 10 days. If you'd like instructions on brewing a proper pot of herbal tea, along with a list of popular combinations of herbs and spices, contact me at our hppr.org website. And if you'd like to know the secret ingredients of my dad's never-fails sore throat swab, I might be talked into that too.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Burrell. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.